Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, you'll hear the award-winning actor and vocalist, Ms. Betty Buckley, speak with Paul Leary about her concerts this weekend at the Colony Theater on Lincoln Road. Dan Hudak previews the 32nd Miami International Film Festival with Jay LaPlante. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food. And our Palm Beach Arts Calendar features Ms. Marilyn Bauer. Now it's time to find out about all of the excitement coming to the 9th Annual Festival of the Arts with Chair and Co-Executive Producer Mr. Charlie Seaman and our Classical Arts Contributor Charles Greenfield.
Despite the fact that so much of classical music in South Florida is produced from big box venues like Miami's Arts Center and Miami Beach's New World Symphony Hall, it is reassuring to look north in March for an exciting 10-day festival of classical music, jazz, pop, dance, and book authors. Presented by the Schmidt Family Center for the Arts at the Meisner Park Amphitheater and the Cultural Arts Center in Boca Raton, the 9th Annual Festival of the Arts Boca takes place March 6th through the 15th. According to Festival Chair Charlie Seaman, throughout the 10-day cultural celebration, festival goers will enjoy a rich and diverse lineup as we bring back artists from years past and welcome some of the greatest intellectual leaders of our time. On March 6th, Festival of the Arts Boca opens with Bernstein Sondheim's West Side Story, played by Festival Orchestra Boca, accompanied by the classic Robert Wise, Jerome Robbins film. Some festival features will include Sir James Galway in a Mozart gala, Arthur Thomas Friedman of The World is Flat fame, and Pulitzer Prize novelist Richard Ford of Independence Day, and closing with Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, conducted by Maestro Konstantin Kitsopoulos and South Florida's popular Master Chorale. Recently, I spoke to Seaman about the vibrant roster of musicians, entertainers, and writers for the 9th Annual Festival of the Arts Boca. Charlie Seaman, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Give us a little history of Festival of the Arts Boca. You're in your 9th season. How do you explain its popularity in drawing crowds from all over South Florida?
The best thing about the festival is we make a very serious effort to bring the best possible artists to South Florida. And I think the festival tent in Meisner Park over the amphitheater is really a unique venue that gives people an opportunity to come enjoy it in a relaxed environment in an interesting place. And I think the fact that it's very young people friendly, because it is a festival venue, that's had a lot to do with our success.
Let's go right into the exciting schedule, kicking off March 6th with Festival Orchestra Boca and conductor Jace Ogren in the Bernstein Sondheim classic West Side Story. What a great way to see the remastered film with a live orchestra.
It's our opening event, and we're fortunate Jamie Bernstein is actually going to be here. She's going to give a lecture in advance of the movie. She's behind and involved in this project. And the remastering of the film was done by the Bernstein Group, and they have presented it around the country in a number of foreign nations, and it's just been a fabulous hit. It was at Tanglewood last year, and the reviews were beyond anything you could imagine. It was magnificent music. Powerful, dramatic, and we're really looking forward to what we think is going to be a fantastic experience, both musically and visually, and again, a wonderful opportunity for families, to people to introduce themselves to this wonderful experience to the next generation.
To the Sharks and the Jets.
The Sharks and the Jets.
Continuing with the festival's musical offerings, March 7th is an unusual evening. Two banjo virtuosos, Bella Fleck and Abigail Washburn. Give us a quick background to the two players, their instruments, and their program. I believe Miss Washburn even sings in Chinese.
She's an extraordinary artist. Bella Fleck is, I think he's won so many awards, it's hard to count them. A fantastic musician. And Abigail Washburn is his wife. She is also a banjo player, but she brings a very diverse set of background experience, a wonderful voice. And I've seen excerpts from this. I've not seen it live, but it's a night to behold. And they are just two fabulous artists. And we're really very excited to have Bella here.
Friday, March 13th, in the amphitheater, the renowned flutist Sir James Galway performs Mozart's Concerto in D major, Violinist Arno Sussman plays the Mozart Concerto in G major, and pianist Conrad Tau the Mozart Concerto in C major, all accompanied by conductor Konstantin Kitsopoulos and the Festival Orchestra Boca. Could you unpack this Mozart extravaganza for us?
Well, it started off as a night of starting to build on Sir James Galway, who's been to the festival twice before. He was here our opening year and the second year. And it sort of emerged. We started talking about whether we should have another soloist. And before you know it, we said, well, we ought to bring back Conrad Tau. We've been sort of looking retrospectively at the festival. He was here, played his first time as a 12-year-old. He's gone on to really establish himself as a very well-known artist. And Arnold Sussman, Itzhak Perlman, pitched to us himself. He's been a student of his and a protege. He's also been teaching at the Perlman School for several years and has now gone out to concertizing. And the next thing we knew, it turned into a Mozart, we didn't want to call it mostly Mozart, it's all Mozart, a Mozart feast. And I think it's going to be a fabulous night. The audience seems to be responding to it. I think it's going to be a great night. One more thing. Sir James is going to do his St. Patrick's Day encore at the end of that concert, which is just 2 days before St. Patrick's Day, and we think that will be a wonderful addition.
Closing night Saturday, March 14th, is Back to Beethoven with the monumental Ninth Symphony. Kitsopoulos is accompanied by the Festival Orchestra Boca, the Young People's Chorus of New York City, and South Florida's popular Master Chorale. Give us a little background on how you set up such an interesting combination, especially with the kids, and the work is not for the faint-hearted, one of the glories of Western music.
Well, we've had a long history with the Ninth Symphony, and Itzhak Perlman conducted it in 2010. It was very, very well received. We wanted to have the Young People's Chorus of New York City here, and they were available this year, and we started trying to build a program around them. They will sing with the Festival Orchestra program before the intermission, and then after a little debate, we decided there's nothing better to finish a festival than Beethoven's Ninth. We get a lot of requests for it, and so we put together a roster of soloists, as we did before, the Master Chorale. The students will perform in that as well, and then Konstantin Kitsopoulos. It's in the amphitheater with the festival tent over it. It's a remarkably stirring experience.
A large part of the festival is literary, with well-known authors and their bestsellers. Give us a brief tour of the authors, starting with Leonard Bernstein's daughter, Jamie Bernstein, speaking in a pre-festival event Wednesday, March 4th. Then you have authors Thomas Friedman, Michael Grunwald, Lucinda Franks, and ending with Martin Goldsmith on Sunday, March 15th.
In addition, we have Clive Thompson, a renowned technology expert, who's going to speak. We're very happy to have Tom Friedman here, and a remarkable speaker, and we think speaks worlds about our festival and its stature in the community. Richard Ford is fantastic. We also have Martin Goldsmith, who's the voice of public radio, classical music, is going to speak on a book he wrote, Alex's Wake, about the voyage of betrayal and journey of remembrance about his family and their travails on the ill-fated St. Louis that was turned away from salvation by the U.S. and Cuba. This is, we think, as well as we've ever done. Dr. Siddhartha Mukherjee, who will speak on the cancer puzzle. He's the author of The Emperor of All Maladies, A Biography of Cancer, which was a Pulitzer Award-winning book. And Richard Ford speaks for himself. We're so pleased and happy that he's joining us.
Now, you have a film on March 7th called Girl Rising, and then on March 8th, Principal Dancers from the American Ballet Theater. Briefly tell us about those two events.
Girl Rising is an Academy Award from Richard Robbins. It's a witness to the strength of human spirit and power of education to change the world. We're taking up this cause, thinking we're working very hard to bring a lot of school people into this event, and that's one of the parts of doing this. And we have an all-star roster of dancers on Sunday night. We are dedicated to including dance in the festival because it's important as an art form, but we think it's also important for those people in South Florida who are excited about dance. It's not our biggest crowd, but it's always one of our best performances, and we just have some fabulous dancers this year.
Well, Charlie Seaman, I want to thank you for participating on South Florida Arts Beat. The festival sounds absolutely thrilling, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
It's my pleasure, and things have come a long way in South Florida in the cultural arts, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of it.
The Festival of the Arts Boca 2015 brings great music and exciting new performers to the northern end of South Florida. Now in its ninth year, the ambitious program featuring classical music, cinema, dance, and orchestras combined with renowned literary figures can only grow larger and more popular in the years to come. It certainly belies the notion that the northern end of South Florida remains a cultural backwater. For more information, call 866-571-2787. To purchase tickets, visit festivalboca.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, film critic Dan Hudak previews the 32nd annual Miami International Film Festival with director Jay LaPlante. Chef Norman Van Aken plates up A Word on Food, and our Palm Beach Arts calendar features Ms. Marilyn Bauer.
I'm in dreams with
contributor Paul Leary speaks with an award-winning Broadway legend who will perform tonight and tomorrow night at the Colony Theater.
Betty Buckley is coming to Miami Beach, the Colony Theater. She's performing songs from new album and some favorites, I'm sure. And the Tony Award-winning actress Betty Buckley is joining us now. Thank you for being on South Florida Arts Beat.
It's great to talk to you, Paul. Thank you very much.
I'm so thrilled that you're coming to South Florida, and we want to hear all about this appearance on Miami Beach. What are you going to be doing?
I'm doing some songs from my new album, Ghostlight, that was produced by T-Bone Burnett, that was just released this past fall, with the brilliant pianist Christian Jacob, who's coming from L.A., and we're all very excited to come to Miami. I live in Texas, and Christian lives in L.A., but Texas is covered in snow this morning, so we're thrilled to get out of town and come see you guys.
Hard to believe Texas covered in snow, but
I know, it's crazy.
Well, we had a few days of cold weather, but we're back up in the 80s now, so we'll have some sunshine for you here when
oh,
you
great.
Get here.
Oh, great. Looking forward to that.
And you know, so you've had such a varied career. Take us back to some of the beginnings of Betty Buckley, and was it television that you first gained a national audience?
Well, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, and I moved to New York when I was 21 and got my first Broadway show, my first day in New York, which was 1776. I debuted the role of Martha Jefferson in that show, and then I went to London for a year to do the young leading lady role in Promises, Promises, came back to New York, did another couple of Broadway shows, including Pippin, the original show, Company of Pippin with Bob Fosse. My first film was Carrie, directed by Brian De Palma, and then from that I got the TV show Eight is Enough and did that for four seasons. Then I did Cats,
and of course,
the role, the Song of Memory and Cats, yeah. And played the role of Grisabella. And then that same year I did the film Tender Mercies, directed by Bruce Beresford, starring Robert Duvall. So it's been an eclectic and wonderful career. I did the TV show Oz on HBO, and this past year I did a guest starring role on Getting On HBO. HBO's been really good to me, and Yeah, and I've done 16 CDs, and this album is the latest, Ghostlight, and I'm thrilled to bring the music to Florida.
Did you say that your first day in New York, you got your first Broadway show?
Yes.
Take us to that moment. How did that happen?
Well, I was signed by an agent when I was still in college, when I was a junior in college, because I was a guest entertainer on the Miss America pageant. And they saw me on television and asked me to fly to New York to audition for them, so I did. And they signed me, then I went back home to Fort Worth to finish college. And then this agent kept encouraging me to come to New York City, and I did, and he had this audition set up for me for 1776, and I was the last girl to audition on the last day of auditions for the musical 1776, and I got the part. It was like a dream come true. All the producers, the day I auditioned, they said, "Who are you?" I said, "Betty Lynn Buckley." They said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Fort Worth, Texas." They said, "When did you get to town?" I said, "Today." And they were all like, "Oh, my God, it's like a movie. It's like a movie."
Betty Lynn Buckley, I like that. We know you as Betty Buckley, but Betty Lynn Buckley from Texas got the Broadway show on her first day. That's remarkable.
Yeah,
and of course,
great.
Talking about Broadway, I mean, you went from the television show Eight is Enough, which was what, late 70s, early 80s, I believe.
Yes, it was.
And then it was Broadway in Cats. Was that your sort of first breakout?
I guess one could say that playing Grisabella, yeah, kind of, and singing Memory really brought me through the doorway of my potential. I'd done three other Broadway shows before that, 1776 and Promises, Promises in London, and then Pippin, and some off-Broadway shows. And, you know, I had been working constantly, but
show and that song, Memory, tell us about the experience. That was sort of the show-stopping number. It went on to be a pop hit. Tell us about that.
Well, it took me a while to figure out how to. But the job assignment was stop the show, and I'd stopped shows before, but it was always by chance, and I didn't know there was a formula for doing it.
That was the stage direction, stop the show?
Yeah, it was the director and Trevor Nunn, the brilliant director, who also wrote the lyric of Memory, and Andrew Lloyd Webber, of course, the composer, and Gillian Lynn, the choreographer. They knew that the song had the potential to stop the show because it had done so in London. And so they were like, okay, you know, stop the show. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that on purpose. And so it took me a while to figure it out. And through the tutelage of my brilliant teacher, Paul Gavert, who I studied with for 19 and a half years, but I'd been studying with him for 13 years at that point. And through a whole process of quest and prayer and meditation, I finally found how to sing Memory in a way that touched the audience in such a way that they would jump to their feet. So that was like really quite a journey, and that's why I think working with Trevor Nunn and Andrew Lloyd Webber and Gillian Lynn and having that wonderful role to play in that beautiful, beautiful song was the kind of the doorway of my understanding of how to bring my acting, which I've been studying for years and years with great teachers, and my singing together in, you know, for this one moment in a musical that was the important 11 o'clock number in Cats.
And you've gone on to sing
it
everywhere.
It was a great experience, you know.
I just thought before I was coming in to do this interview, and I didn't have time to look it up, but there was an M. Night Shyamalan movie that you appeared in, and I couldn't remember the name of it, and I was so thrilled to see you taking on such a different...
It was The Happening, starring Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel and John Leguizamo and me. It was released a few years ago, and it was a scary movie, and I played Mrs. Jones, who was a kind of crazy lady that in kind of unfortunate demise in the movie. But it was a wonderful experience getting to work with Shyamalan and Wahlberg and that team. It was great.
And there you were. I mean, it is a scary horror movie, and there you were sort of banging your head through the door or something. I'm having these...
Through the window,
That was a different role for Betty Buckley.
Yeah.
Well, take us back now to your concert that you're bringing here to Miami Beach. You're doing some of the songs from the new album, Ghostlight, but you're also going to do some of your favorites, I'm sure. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Ghostlight is a beautiful album with, you know, 12 songs that come from the musical theater and from the Great American Songbook, and some songs by contemporary singer-songwriters, one from the 60s from Jefferson Airplane, a song that I've loved since college called Coming Back to Me. And I'm going to be doing some of those songs from the record. with this brilliant pianist, Christian Jacob, and, you know, a couple of songs that I'm more known for and some of my favorites mixed all together.
That's great. Is there a role, whether it's stage or screen or TV, that you're most proud of?
I'm very grateful for all the work I've done, but I think the three parts that have been, well, let me think. Yeah, Grisabella in Cats, Dixie Scott in the film Tender Mercies, and then Norma Desmond I did in the great Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Sunset Boulevard. I did that show for a year in London and a year on Broadway. All of those were really high points, I think, of my career.
Has there ever been a role that you didn't get, that a dream role that you wanted?
I can't really say. I always wanted to play Annie Oakley in Annie Get Your Gun, but that never seemed to happen. I wanted to do a kind of arena version of the show with the real Wild West show, with the musical kind of being the circumstance for presenting the Wild West show that had been done in the days of Wild Bill and all that.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a blast because I'm a horsewoman. I live in Texas on a ranch. I moved back here 11
yeah.
years ago to ride cutting horses. So I was trying to think of a project where I could take my horses on the road.
Oh, that would be great. What a perfect combination. Yeah,
yeah, bring my two loves together, singing and horses.
Absolutely.
So, but none of the producers I pitched it to really got the concept, so that didn't come together. So now I think the time has passed for me to get to play Annie Oakley, but I'm still riding horses, and I'm still singing, so that's good.
That's excellent. You know, one last question, I think, before we wrap it up here. You mentioned Sunset Boulevard. There's been talk for quite some time about a film version. Any interest from Betty Buckley to play Norma Desmond?
Of course, of course.
Who wouldn't, right?
There's quite a few actress singers who'd love to do that. And, you know, Andrew has his ideas about it, so I don't know.
Do you have any scoops for us? Do you have any?
I don't.
Okay.
I wish I did.
Okay. Well, Betty Buckley, this has been terrific, and I'm so glad to have the chance to talk to you. Betty Buckley coming for the South Beach Broadway series on Miami Beach, the Colony Theater, singing and performing from her new record, Ghostlight. And Betty Buckley, thanks so much again for being on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thanks, Paul. I really appreciate talking to you. Thank you.
Award-winning Broadway legend Ms. Betty Buckley performing tonight and tomorrow at 8 p.m. at the Colony Theater, 1040 Lincoln Road on Miami Beach. For more information, colonytheatermiamibeach.com or 305-434-7091. And of course, more information about our guest on this segment at bettybuckley.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Chef Norman Van Aken's A Word on Food and our Palm Beach Arts Calendar wrap up the show today. But coming up next, film critic Dan Hudak previews the 32nd Miami International Film Festival with Festival Executive Director Jay LaPlante.
Talk about catering to the home crowd. With estimates placing the Latino population between 65 and 70% in Miami-Dade County, it's fitting that the 32nd annual Miami International Film Festival would have a Latin flair. To wit, the festival's opening night film, closing night film, tribute award, and emerging artists are all Hispanic-based, with special emphasis going to Cuba's burgeoning film scene. The festival, which runs March 6th through the 15th, will screen 125 films emanating from 40 countries, including 94 feature films and documentaries, and 14 world premieres. One such world premiere is Dogfight, a documentary from Miami's own Billy Corbin and Alfred Spellman about street fighting right here in South Florida. Here's a piece from the film's trailer.
It's going to be pain, it's going to be anguish, and these guys, they fight for something much, much greater than words can explain. They're fighting for a chance at a better livelihood. No rules, no gloves, backyard bare knuckles. We're in Dade County, Piran.
You could come outside and bullets be flying all over your head.
Dada 5000, he the Don King of the backyard.
Half of the fighters are convicts.
So for those who don't have a resume, but they have a rap sheet, this is who we do this for.
In addition to the films, there's a screenwriting competition, parties, masterclass seminars, and much more happening over the festival's 10-day run. Here to tell us all about it is Miami International Film Festival Executive Director Jay LaPlante. Jay, thank you for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be here.
You're starting with Wild Tales. It's an Argentinian film. From the description alone, it reminds me of a little bit of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, only from Argentina with today's modern comedy stars. But it's one of five opening night films.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a new concept for us at Miami-Dade College and the Miami International Film Festival. We are experimenting with an opening night in each one of our venues. So not only will Wild Tales be playing, but we have an opening night at O Cinema Miami Beach, which is the documentary Being Evil, very exciting film. We have an opening at Regal Cinemas on Lincoln Road, Coral Gables Art Cinema, and the Tower Theater, where we're going to be having our Cinema Slam competition. So that's all next week. We have five opening nights.
And you have a Latin theme throughout the festival, but it may not be quite as Latin as I thought it was. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the opening night film is from Argentina. Our closing night film is from Spain. We're giving a tribute to the Cuban independent film artist. So it may seem, just because of those big slots, that it's heavily Latin. But in fact, we have slightly less Latin films than normal. We've got a lot of films from many different places. We've got 40 countries represented altogether. And many of the films are actually touching right on Miami content itself, right here in Miami.
And one of those is Dogfight. We've had Billy Corbin on the show here, the director of Cocaine Cowboys and The U. And this is his latest film, making its world premiere at the festival, about street fighting right here in South Florida.
Yes, we have the world premiere of Dogfight. We're extremely excited about it. I think that it's one of Rencontour's most incredibly touching films. You know, it's really an amazing story, and you know, we're really honored to be premiering it.
Okay, you just said touching, so I can't let this go, because we look at the trailer and we see it's street fighting, it's ex-cons who are going out there and fighting in order to earn money. It doesn't exactly scream touching, so I need you to expand on that for us.
Sure. Well, touching, it's touching to me because these individuals have decided to use street fighting as a mechanism for elevating themselves out of their situation. So they pour their hopes and dreams into it, just the way we see in any type of underdog sports story. You know, it's got a Miami twist, and it's very, very unusual for sure. But ultimately, that's what they're doing, is they're pouring their heart and their soul into using this mechanism to get out of their situation into the big worlds of the MMA. And it is quite a touching journey for some of the characters. Not everyone makes it.
Fascinating. Now, this is one of many Miami films. There's a whole Miami Manifesto section of content, and then there's a Florida focus on filmmakers. We're doing a lot of local programming too, right?
Yeah, I'm particularly gratified by that because we've been supporting Miami filmmakers and Florida filmmakers for some time at the festival. But this year, the quality of the films is just very international in scope. And we have 21 films in the festival that touch Miami in some way or another, including The Strongest Man, which is Kenny Rich's film, which had the world premiere at the Sundance Film Festival just a couple of months ago, and that's in our night competition. We haven't had a Miami shot film in our night competition ever, so it's really exciting for Kenny.
Tell us more about The Strongest Man.
Well, The Strongest Man is, it feels a lot like an early Hal Hartley movie, which I'm a particular fan of. And it's an offbeat character study of a construction worker who is searching for some answer to his generalized feeling of malaise and anxiety. So I don't want to say much more about it, other than it's very, very funny. And, you know, it's got that particular Miami quirk that everyone will recognize.
Another distinctly Miami movie, The Record Man. Mark Mormon's The Record Man.
Yeah, Mark Mormon is a phenomenal filmmaker. He's, of course, the director of Tom Dowd and The Language of Music, which was featured at the festival a number of years ago. The Record Man is his new film about Henry Stone, who, you know, is a story that not many people know about. And we're thrilled that Mark made this film. It captures a piece of Miami history that many of us don't know about. You know, he launched the careers of musicians such as KC and the Sunshine Band. I mean, it's just an incredible story.
And that's making its world premiere here at the festival. And then you have another film called Best of Enemies, about the debate between Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley. People think of 1968 and conventions, and they automatically go to Chicago. We forget it was also in Miami Beach that year.
That's right, yes. So Best of Enemies is Morgan Neville's film. Morgan Neville won an Oscar for 20 Feet from Stardom, which opened the festival a couple of years ago, and this is his follow-up film. And it's, yeah, you're right, particularly fascinating because it centers on the national conventions of 1968. And the Republican convention was here at the Fountain Blue in Miami Beach. And there's some really fascinating footage in that film.
And then you always have great stuff outside of the screenings, whether it's parties or what I'm focusing on here, the master classes, which is a really great way to get insight into the profession. And you have the Academy of the Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, coming just to discuss Hollywood Today, which I think is a great get for the festival.
Yeah, you know, Cheryl's been in the news a lot. She's the Academy's had a lot of press this year regarding issues of diversity, and Cheryl has really addressed those in an incredibly interesting way, and she'll be here to talk about that a little bit further, and we're really honored that she accepted our invitation.
And you have Asian films, French films, short films, and then, of course, culinary films, which is an area of programming that fascinates me because my assessment for a food movie is how hungry does it make me? Like Chef last year, I was starving after Chef because I thought the food looked that good. Tell us about the culinary programming here.
Yeah, well, this is the third year of our culinary series. It's programmed by Lee Brian Traeger, who's the founder and director of the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. So, you know, a man that knows a lot about food. And you're right. I mean, these are mouth-watering films, and every one of them is paired with a meal inspired by the film at a restaurant immediately following. It's the ultimate dinner and a movie experience.
Very smart. And I also want to mention this. My colleague, Hans Morgenstern, is a juror for you this year for the Screenwriting Prize. Very smart move. Hans is a great guy and very smart critic.
Yes.
How long have you had the Screenwriting Prize? And tell us more about the competition. This year.
Sure. Well, the Jordan Alexander Wrestler Screenwriting Award has been at the festival for a number of years. This is the first year that we've opened it up to any film written by a first-time screenwriter in the festival. It used to be in the past only for Ibero-American filmmakers, but this year it's from any country, anyone is eligible who has written their first screenplay. So we have 18 films in total in competition. So Hans and his fellow jurors have their work cut out for them.
And you're showing Citizen Kane. Can never get enough of that on a big screen. Last question for Jay LaPlante, executive director of the Miami International Film Festival. People got one thing out of the festival this year. What would you want that one thing to be?
Magic. You know, there's just a lot to discover on screen. There's a lot of emotions to go through and come out and feel the magic.
In the Magic City.
Yes, right? That's
Jay,
right.
Best of luck this year.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Thanks for having me.
The 32nd annual Miami International Film Festival will be held March 6th through the 15th at venues throughout Miami-Dade County. For more information, go to miamifilmfestival.com or call 305-237-FILM. That's 3456. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at punchdrunkmovies.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is macaroni and cheese. I was back in the firm hands of my pretty dentist, Gabby, again. And once again, we were having one of those conversations where she can talk and all I can do is grunt and use my eyebrows. She is used to it and seems to understand most of what I'm trying to reply to. I've told this before here, but in case you were elsewhere, let me repeat that Gabby is very smart and also incredibly involved with good food. She cooks, she dines out, she shops, and she likes to know what your chef and radio show host here has to say about matters of cuisine. That is when she told me she likes frozen macaroni and cheese products by a certain company I won't name on air. They make plenty of money without my aid or potentially unkind remarks. I am a stick in the mud when it comes to making almost everything from scratch. But she is a working woman with a family to feed, so she does like many bright people, and she will shop out some of the comestibles that hit her dining room table. She allowed that the dinner she absolutely loves for special nights like New Year's Eve or a birthday are stone crabs, coleslaw, and that aforementioned, but not by brand name, mac and cheese. By the way, she makes her own coleslaw. Nobody makes stone crabs, really, so that is another of her shopping strategies for a pain-free dinner party. I watched a guy make a mac and cheese pie on a video the other morning. I was immediately confused by his creation. Even though he was good at demonstrating it, and it did look kind of like a dish you'd like at someone else's football or other kind of cocktail party, it was made with long strands of spaghetti noodles. So, why was he calling this mac and cheese? I asked the television screen. The television screen and I have conversations like my dentist Gabby and I have. In the case of my solitary conversations with said TV screen, it is me doing the talking and making sense. Or, at least, I'd like to think so. My wife, Janet, is one of the best home chefs in the land. She has adapted to the professional cooking life as we have wandered down our trail together just fine, even better than fine. She learned to cook at her mother's side, standing on a milk crate next to the well-used stove at their home. Mom Amsler had 8 children, and dishes like macaroni and cheese were the kind of things that graced the table to the delight of all. That is a thing with macaroni and cheese. It is the kind of dish that has legions of fans. And there are legions of recipes to check out if you want to veer off noodles, macaroni noodles, of course, some kind of milk or cream or both, and the magical gooey power of cheese. That is the power punch of it. I found myself hearing my dentist, Gabby, speaking above the drill noise. She was going to Mexico soon, and she informed me she will smuggle some of her favorite tamales, which she will freeze and then wrap in aluminum foil and stash rolled up in her socks. I wonder, would that work with mac and cheese? I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
I don't want fish cakes and rye bread. You heard what I said. Waiter, please. I want my mind fried. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fay with shafafa on the side.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Naka Tamales. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And today we welcome back Ms. Marilyn Bauer, Director of Marketing and Governmental Affairs for the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Marilyn, how's life these days?
Life is hectic these days. We're smack dab in the middle of season, and
oh, yeah.
So there's so much going on. One of the things that is happening right now through May 24th, so everybody will have a chance to see it, is at the Murakami Museum. And that's Atagaki Rangitsu, who was a Japanese Buddhist nun and perhaps the most well-known female artist and poet of 19th century Japan. And she collaborated with potters, lacquerware craftsmen, and a variety of other artists to create these really unusual objects. And the Murakami is having poetry and clay, which brings all of these pieces together with paintings, ceramics, decorative fans, tea ceremony utensils, and calligraphy pieces for this amazing exhibition, which is the largest of her works in the United States.
Mm.
So that's really something to go and see.
Yeah.
On March 12th, a little heads up, one of the events that we love over here at the Cultural Council is the 20th Annual Student Showcase of Films. And our sister agency, the Film Commission, puts this on, and it's amazing. And you see these student films that are incredible. And they do a red carpet starting at 9:30 a.m. And at 10 o'clock, the show begins. It's over at Lynn University. Again, it's on March 12th, and it's just a great, great event. Ballet Palm Beach is doing a wonderful show. It's called Simple Symphony and Other Works. It's a mixed repertory program with four ballets featuring new and original works with humor and romance and live classical guitar on February 27th and 28th. And they're going to have a special post-performance surprise after Saturday's performance, and you'll get to meet the dancers of Ballet Palm Beach, including the company's newest members. So that's another great event. The Spady Museum in Delray Beach, one of our little-known gems here, and on February 28th, they're going to have a heritage festival. And the festival will be from 2 to 10 p.m. and feature demonstrations of crafts, and there'll be a junk-a-noo parade and food and music and demonstrations, interactive recreation, live performances. It's just a wonderful event. They close off the street, which is Fifth Avenue in Delray Beach, and it's in the museum itself is in the Williams Cottage. It's just terrific. There's activities for kids and pony rides and face painting, and it's a free festival, and it's part of the city's Black History Month event, so it's another terrific event. Our neighbors down the street, the Lake Worth Playhouse, are bringing us that old classic, Arsenic and Old Lace. They won't have Cary Grant for their production, but their February 26th to March 15th show will be really a wonderful presentation of the hilarious misadventures of the Brewster sisters. And this is a show, of course, that was written in 1939 and was best known from that film with Cary Grant, directed by Frank Capra. February 26th is the preview night. Opening night is February 27th. And dinner and a show night is February 26th. Another one of our sister agencies is ERM, the Environmental Resource Management Agency. And they are doing some amazing natural area sunset hikes. So on March 4th is the Yamato Scrub Natural Area. And what our friends at ERM do is they lead these hikes through some of the country's most environmentally sensitive lands, and these hikes are free. You have to make a reservation, but you know, you wear comfortable clothing and shoes and walk about 2 to 4 miles, and the experts tell you all about the flora and fauna of the area. It's really, really terrific. The Ann Norton Sculpture Garden, another sort of outdoors and arts combination from February 18th through March 29th. They're showing Florida Plein Air, new works by Mary Page Evans. And that will be showing seascapes, gardens, and nudes. And her work is in a lot of public and corporate collections, such as DuPont, MBNA, the National Museum of Women and the Arts, the State Museum of Pennsylvania, et cetera, et cetera. And so she's going to bring her latest works. Then right after that, you can go down to the beach to see Sea Turtle Day Festival. And it's going to be a celebration of 30 years of Gumbo Limbo, one of our other favorite places in the county. Gumbo Limbo Nature Center is going to celebrate their 30-year anniversary and also Sea Turtle Day. It's a fun-filled family day of environmental education with exciting things to see and do. There's live animal presentation, face painting, aquarium feedings, children's theater, guided boardwalk tours, kids' crafts, awesome booths, you name it. They're going to have food trucks there. Again, it's a free event with a suggested donation 9 to 4 p.m. on February 28th. Moving ahead to March, March 6th through the 15th is one of the most loved festivals in Palm Beach County, which is the Festival of the Arts Boca. And this year they're billed as Beethoven, Broadway, Ballet, and a Bit of Romance. And this is the ninth year for the festival. It's 10 days of diverse cultural experiences at Meisner Park Amphitheater in Boca. this year, the season is going to start, I can't wait for this, with West Side Story, one of my favorite films. Mm. And Festival Orchestra Boca is going to play the score as the music is projected on the screen. The festival will close with a really spectacular concert featuring the Young People's Chorus of New York and Beethoven's Immortal Ninth Symphony. And throughout the 10 days, it's a really, really diverse lineup, very rich. Bella Fleck will be there. There's going to be the National Ballet of Canada. There'll be a Mozart gala. Sir James Galway is going to perform. Mm-hmm. Pianist Conrad Teo. Is Seth Perlman, I mean, you name him, we've got him coming to the Boca Festival of the Arts. So it's a must-see.
Excellent event suggestions from Ms. Marilyn Bauer, Director of Marketing and Governmental Affairs for Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Thank you so much, Marilyn.
And for more information, go to palmbeachculture.com. You
take
care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme is composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner, our technical director. We'd also like to thank our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Paul Leary, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Marilyn Bauer. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, we'll feature topical currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy. Thank you.